geologic natural fluctuations that we all know have been happening for millennia. We're talking about human-caused climate change that is unprecedented, that is leading us into a mass extinction event that means the end of the boreal forests in Minnesota, the end of those birch trees when you drive up the North Shore. It means warming of Lake Superior so we have algae blooms. It means wildfires, like I had said before. It means water shortages. It means mass migration. It means an unlivable planet. So I don't know what people don't understand about this or why people want to slow walk this. I do maintain that this is on your heads. It is. It's on your heads. And I know that there are people in this body who have been trying to make some measured, noble efforts toward change. And it's not that I don't appreciate that. I do appreciate that. But I've also seen some of those same people vote down in committee earlier in this session the very, very modest clean car rules. Try to pull them back. Honestly, colleagues, the clean car rules are great. I'm glad that they're there. I'm glad the administration has adopted them and is moving forward with them. But it's a Republican idea. It's a conservative, market-based idea. If you can't sign on to the clean car rule, I mean, honestly, the stuff that we're debating right now, all of these amendments, everything that we're talking about adding, this is going to look like child's play 10 years from now. It really, really will. And so when you're considering these amendments and you're voting them down, just remember that the years to come, your kids and your grandkids are going to be looking at you wondering why you didn't act on these very, very modest changes and proposals that will just steer us in the direction we need to go. That's all it is. It's just the direction we need to go. And it literally means our survival on the planet. Like, are you kidding me? So with that, colleagues, I feel incredulous about this. It's just maddening to me that we are just humming along as if we can just keep on doing what we've been doing. As we heard earlier, our greenhouse gas emissions are actually going up. So we're going backwards. We need more than what this bill offers in front of us. And these amendments that we're offering just make it decent. They just bring it up to a level of decency that we could face the people of Minnesota and say, at least we're trying. At least we have some ideas that we're going to try to follow. Do a Hail Mary to see if we can preserve the future for you. So with that, colleagues, I offer the A18. I ask for a roll call on that amendment, and I ask for your support.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Kuhn, certainly respect your passion on this. We have to look at this in terms of the words being the words. Will Senator McKeown yield?
She will yield, Senator Senjum.
Senator McKeown, I'm thinking out loud now. We probably have, I don't know, 5.2 million people, maybe 2 million houses in Minnesota. Certainly a number of commercial buildings, all generally speaking heated with natural gas. All, as that happens, spewing forth CO2. How would you suggest within the next 28 years we could even do 1 million houses? Senator McKeown, that would be a question. Thank you.
Senator McKeown.
Thank you very much for that question. I appreciate it. I'm not an expert in those areas. And, you know, I confess that that's not my expertise. But what we're debating right now are these very modest amendments, as I had talked about. This is just adjusting our greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals. I know that there are many people in this body who have a very unwavering faith in the power and innovation of the free market. And I guess I would say trust in that faith, you know, go for it. Hopefully the free market will help us. And then honestly, you know, we're going to need to set some parameters going forward for how this is going to happen. We're going to need our government collectively together as a community to come together and do the things that it will take. So, you know, you ask me this question, well, how are we going to do this? It's huge. I admit it, it's huge, right? What we're talking about is a change, you know, not unlike the rallying that this country had to do to get out of the Great Depression, not unlike the rallying that this country had to do to win World War II. Though that's the type of rally that we have to make right now. So when you're talking about numbers, I don't know. I know there's a lot of smart people in our country, in our state, throughout the world, who are ready to work on these issues, who are ready to meet the numbers as fast as we can, in the best way that we can, but they need people in government to lead. They need us to lead. They're clamoring for us to lead, actually. You know, I don't know if many of you have been following, but we have actually seen over the last week massive civil disobedience by scientists around the world, in major cities around the world, London, New York, Chicago, I think I saw Madrid, Paris, France, all around the world, scientists are committing civil disobedience, clamoring for people like us,
Mr. President,
like the people in this room, to act and to lead.
Senator McKeown, you will suspend. Senator Nelson, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. What is the question before the body?
There was a question raised by Senator Senjum to Senator McKeown. I think she was trying to answer the question. So right now we are on the question before the body, parliamentarily speaking, is the A18 amendment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. President. It was hard to tell what the question was before the body. It was quite a long and discussion. So I would just remind members of Rule 36.2 in debate that we focus on the question at hand. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Nelson, for the point on the rule. Senator McKeown, you're finished with comments, and we can move back to Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm finished with my comments.
Senator Senjum.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. And I don't think I'm going to belabor this. I could ask the same question about, you know, net zero by 2050. That's like not one molecule. That's pretty tough test. So I could ask the same question about transportation. I could ask the same question about electrification, although I think by 2050, frankly, we'd be pretty close to clean electricity in this state, given the pathways that our utilities are taking. But I think this is certainly, I'm not going to say the word aspirational again, I just did, but and it's certainly worthy of a direction, but to put into the state law, I don't think is wise. We're moving these directions anyway, but just the example of home heating, the idea that we would convert literally every house in Minnesota to some other form of heating other than natural gas or wood or whatever is a pretty tough test. And so, Mr. President, members, I would vote or suggest rather a no vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, you just used the term aspirational. You think this may be an aspirational proposal. I think we got to keep in mind that maybe some of our folks in here generation might not be the ones who suffer from the failure to address climate, but it's not aspirational. There's nothing more important than addressing climate. Climate change. If we don't address it, nothing else will matter to your grandkids and their grandkids. Nothing else will matter. It's that essential to human survival, and it's not next year. Next year's going to be worse than this year in terms of flooding, in terms of fires, in terms of tornadoes and wrong times of the year. But that's this year and next year. That's not 10 years from now or 20 years from now. And I'm glad you think it's aspirational. I think it's more than that. I think it's essential. We don't have a choice for that, and I urge your support.
Secretary will take the roll on the 818 amendment. Senator Hurd, for members voting under Rule 40.7.
Mr. President, I'd like to report aye for Senator Clausen.
Clausen votes aye. Senator Hurd.
I'd like to report aye for Senator Fattah.
Fattah votes aye. Senator Hurd.
I'd like to report aye for Senator Torres-Ray.
Torres-Ray votes aye. Senator Hurd.
I'd like to report aye for Senator Lopez-Franzen.
Lopez-Franzen votes aye. Senator Hurd.
And I'd like to report aye for Senator Port.
Port votes aye.
Correct.
That's very good to hear, Senator Hurd. Calling Senator... Call Senator Jasinski to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson votes no.
Anderson votes nay. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Gazelka votes no.
Gazelka votes nay. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Ingebrigtsen votes no.
Ingebrigtsen votes nay. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Benson votes no.
Benson votes nay. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Johnson votes no.
Johnson votes nay. Senator Jasinski. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Tomasoni votes no.
Tomasoni votes nay. All members having voted with the desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 30 ayes and 35 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Kunesh.
Thank you once again, Mr. President. I would like to, at this time, present to you amendment the A-16, and I will request a roll call.
Senator Kunesh moves the A-16 amendment. The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Kunesh moves to amend Senate file number 4091 as follows, page 30 after line 27. Insert, this is the A-16 amendment.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Senator Kunesh.
Thank you. This bill, members, brings the 11 tribes into the conversation by requiring the Department of Commerce to provide technical support and subject matter expertise to assist and help facilitate any efforts taken by our 11 federally recognized tribes in Minnesota in order to establish a Tribal Advocacy Council on Energy, if it's requested by the council. So nothing in this proposal requires the tribes to establish a council on energy, nor does it oblige any of the tribes to participate in or implement, support a decision made by a council if it's established. But what it will do is provide assistance for assessing and evaluating common tribal energy issues. It will help in the development of new statewide energy policies or proposed legislation, along with assistance in organizing stakeholder meetings and gathering public input. And it will assist in facilitating efforts to raise awareness and gather information with respect to tribal energy issues. There are definitely an historic, profound inequities in energy costs and choices for tribal nations. And the existing energy and weather assistant models alone are proven to be ineffective to reducing these inequities. By adopting this requirement, it respects the sovereign rights of our tribal governments to establish an energy council that is reflective of the unique status of tribal nations, which does not currently exist under current community energy councils. The Minnesota Indian Affairs Council supports this language, as it would provide critical support to tribal nations that seek to make policy recommendations that reflect their goals and the goals of Minnesota for energy independence and the creation of a clean, energy-efficient future for the future of the next seven generations at a minimum. And with that, I would ask that this body support and vote for this amendment.
To the A-16 amendment, Senator Sanjam.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Kunesh. Mr. President, I would like on line 1-5 to strike must and insert may.
Secretary will report the oral amendment.
Senator Sanjam moves to orally amend the amendment on line 1.5 after the word commerce. The word must is stricken and the word may is inserted.
To the oral amendment, Senator Sanjam.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Kunesh, I do this only because I don't know about the fiscal note on this, and I think it probably achieves the same purpose if the Department of Commerce can certainly work within the framework of their existing budget. I have no problems with the objectives that you're trying to reach. It's for that reason I may recommend the change. And if we can do the change, I'm fine with it, Mr. President. Senator Kunesh.
Senator, before I go to Senator Kunesh, Senator Sanjam, the front desk would like to ask you about line 1.9. There is a must. Would you like to incorporate that into your oral amendment?
Thank you for that catch, Mr. President, front desk. The intent here is to make it a
so Senator Sanjam removes his original oral amendment and makes a second oral amendment. The secretary will report the corrected oral amendment.
The oral amendment is to change line 1.5, the word must, to may. line 1.9, also change the word must to may.
And to the revised oral amendment, Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, I really hate to do this to you, but we
found another one, did you?
We found another one. On line 1-30, where after section, strike must and insert may.
So Senator Senjum removes his oral amendment, and Senator Senjum makes a revised oral amendment. The secretary will report the oral amendment again.
Total amendment of the Senjum oral amendment is one line 1.5, the must becomes may. 1.9, the must becomes may. On 1.30, the line, the word must becomes may.
To that oral amendment, Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, with those changes and to Senator Kunesh, I would be fine with this if she's willing to accept that. And I do it just for reasons of working within the cost framework of and the budget of the agency.
Senator Kunesh.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Senjum. I will accept those your suggested amendment and change in the verbiage from must to may. And just so that you know, there is no fiscal note. We have been told that there is not a fiscal note for this. And so I appreciate your support of this amendment and would ask all of you to vote green on this A16 amendment.
To the oral amendment. All those in favor of the oral amendment to the amendment signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Senator Kunesh, would you like to remove your roll call request?
Mr. President, yes. With that acceptance, I will remove my roll call.
Seeing no further discussion to the A16 amendment as amended, all those, Senator Utke.
Mr. President, is it too late to ask for a roll call? Or are you going to? I'd like to have a roll call.
You can ask for a roll call. Anyone may. So roll call is requested. Roll call granted. Seeing no further discussion, the secretary will take the roll on the amended A16 amendment. Calling Senator Herr to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Herr.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to report aye for Senator Clausen.
Clausen votes aye. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report aye for Senator Fattah.
Fattah votes aye. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report aye for Senator Torres Rey.
Torres Rey votes aye. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report aye for Senator Lopez Frentzen.
Lopez Frentzen votes aye. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report aye for Senator Port.
Port votes aye.
Thank you.
Calling Senator Jasinski to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson votes no.
Anderson votes nay. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Gazelka votes no.
Gazelka votes nay. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Ingebrigtsen votes no.
Ingebrigtsen votes nay. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Benson votes aye.
Benson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Tomasoni votes no.
Tomasoni votes nay. All members having voted with the desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 41 ayes and 24 nays, the motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A-47 amendment.
The secretary will report the A-47 amendment.
Senator Housley moves to amend Senate File Number 4091 as follows. Page 69, after lines 27, insert. This is the A-47 amendment.
To the A-47 amendment, Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Kiffmeyer and Senator Murphy and I were part of the frontline workers group. This summer we met over the summer and fall over 8 times. And in the bill last night, it was added our frontline workers proposal. We were tasked with getting a couple of proposals. We could put 3 out. And this is our proposal that we put out, and we are just, with this amendment, just clarifying what the frontline worker definition is. A frontline worker is, in addition to what's already in the bill, we've added another provision that the frontline worker is able to demonstrate that the nature of their position as a first responder or other emergency frontline worker or long-term or other healthcare frontline workers provided sustained COVID exposure or required direct COVID-19 patient care. That is the amendment, Mr. President.
Discussion to the A-47 amendment. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Housley, I am grateful to see that the Senate majority is finally beginning to engage on the commitment we made almost a year ago now on frontline workers. I followed along the finance hearing last night and understand that what is in this bill represents what the Republicans of the working group proposed on frontline workers at the end of last summer. And so I now see this amendment, and I'm wondering if Senator Housley would be willing to yield for a question.
She will, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Housley. So the amendment says that someone must be able to demonstrate that the nature of their position as a first responder or other emergency frontline worker or long-term or healthcare frontline worker, they're demonstrating that they sustained a COVID exposure or required COVID-19 patient care. Senator Housley, we had a lot of debate in the working group around who qualified as a frontline worker and who didn't, who was worthy of frontline worker pay and who was not worthy. And I'm wondering if you can share just a little more, if you can say a little more about what this amendment would mean for the 667,000 Minnesotans who were required to go to work, required to face the risk. Who would be in, who would be out? What does this definition mean for those people who we've made a commitment to and they have been waiting now for a very long time for us to act?
Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Murphy. This is consistent to what we said all during the frontline worker group. The 667,000 people that you're referring to were the essential workers, and our committee was tasked with $250 million to give out to, as a thank you to our frontline workers. So what this does is, and we had the rubric for frontline workers, and number one was their inability to work from home, and then we kept narrowing it down to the possibility of direct exposure to COVID, or were there confirmed COVID outbreaks among the workers or residents, or were they coping with death or dying due to COVID, the level of direct exposure to COVID. And so, and we did, we had great hearings, and many, many people came forward from, we had teachers, we had bus drivers, we had MnDOT workers, but this one group really stood out, those that had close personal contact and with sustained COVID-19 exposure and direct COVID-19 patient care. So that's who we deemed were the frontline workers.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President, and if Senator Housley would yield.
Senator Housley will continue to yield. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, President Osmak. Senator Housley, can you be more specific in your description of what it means to have sustained COVID-19 exposure?
Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Murphy. Yes, and we heard some of those stories. Those nurses that were working in the hospitals in the COVID wings that were constantly taking care of those that were that had COVID. Some of them died in their arms. Other workers were in our long-term care facilities where the majority of our deaths took place amongst our seniors. So those folks that were taking care of our seniors, that is sustained.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. And if she would yield again, please.
Senator Housley will continue to yield. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Housley, at the start of the pandemic, back in March of 2020, the start of the stay-at-home order, of course, the pandemic had started prior to that. We didn't have ways to diagnose COVID. We didn't have ways to test for COVID. We didn't have ways to vaccinate against COVID. And yet we said, as a government, that there were people that needed to go to work. They needed to go into work. They needed to go in, whether it was into a nursing home, into a hospital, into a grocery store, into a warehouse, into a meatpacking plant, into a school, into a childcare center. They had to go into work. While most of us, the majority of us, were at home, including us, policymakers, were not required to go into a place. So what I don't understand about your amendment, and I hope when I say this that you can help me understand, what is your measure of a sustained COVID exposure at the start of the pandemic when we couldn't test, when we couldn't really diagnose? When I think about what we experienced today with Senator Port, she had COVID, but they couldn't diagnose it. She went to the hospital, and she had a constellation of symptoms, and they said, that's what we think you have, but you'll have to go back home because you're not that sick. There wasn't a clear diagnostic tool. She didn't know where she'd been exposed. She had no idea. So, Senator Housley, you are suggesting that we should narrow the universe to those who had a sustained COVID-19 exposure, and I would like to understand from your perspective how we're going to define that when we didn't have tools to diagnose or tests at the start. But we know that a lot of the people who went to work got sick, their families got sick, and a lot of people died. So if you could yield for the question, how in legislative language that needs to be implemented will we define a sustained COVID exposure?
Senator Housley.
Thank you, Mr. President. And we heard Mary Turner with the Nurses Association before our committee, and the governor spoke of her also the other night in his State of the State. What Mary Turner said was, these nurses, she was praising the nurses and our healthcare workers, these nurses went to work every single day to ensure that us and our loved ones had the very best care possible. And the results of what they did was that as Minnesota's death rates came from this, when someone is admitted to the hospital, is someone of the lowest, were some of the lowest in the nation. Those are the folks that we said, let's give them a little extra help. It's not winning the lottery. It's not a bonus. It's a thank you on behalf of the people of the state of Minnesota that they serve. And we can all agree that our nurses did have sustained exposure to COVID. And that is who we are addressing this amendment to, those who had direct COVID exposure through patient care and sustained COVID-19 exposure.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, President Asmik, and thank you, Senator Housley. I, of course, recall with clarity, because I've had so many conversations with President Mary Turner, the registered nurse, who has been working this entire time on a COVID IC unit in North Memorial Hospital, and she, of course, was at the State of the State address. She has also been steadfast in her belief that every one of the frontline workers, every one of the 667,000 frontline workers, are entitled to hazard pay, to bonus pay, because she knows, because she is a registered nurse, she knows her science, and she understands that at the start of this, we didn't know how it was even transmitted. We didn't know if we should wear masks or not. People were wearing gloves. We were unclear. And despite that, we required people to go into work. They all faced the same risk because we didn't know where the virus was or how it was transmitted. So whether you worked in a grocery store or you were taking care of children or you were working in a nursing home or in a hospital, the risk was the same, especially when we didn't know. And it was at the start when we didn't know that this group of people were called into work. So to say that we are going to exclude based on a sustained COVID exposure is not language that we can even measure. I don't know how that would be implemented, nor does it fit with the science of the virus that we now know is transmitted through our breath and our breathing. And so when people were going to work and not adequately protected with PPE, they were exposed whether they were in a healthcare setting or not. And in fact, I would argue those who were in a healthcare setting probably had a better shot at protecting themselves because there's more equipment there. There's more PPE, there's more airflow, there's more isolation. They are set up for that. So I think that this amendment takes us in the wrong direction in terms of the science, in terms of the risk, and in terms of who we need to include. I will tell you, I had the good fortune, and I've had the chance to talk with Senator Housley about this a little bit, to celebrate Mass in Worthington, Minnesota, at St. Mary's Catholic Church on March 13th, the day of my birthday, with a group of people, a church filled with workers and families who work in the meatpacking plants in the Worthington and Albert Lea area. They were together celebrating the fact that it had been 2 years since the stay-at-home order. You know, I've often said we should recognize these frontline workers for the sacrifice that they made for all of us. I still believe that. For the risk that they took for all of us. I still believe that. But when I listen to the workers who we met with after that Mass that we celebrated together, what I heard from one who spoke, and eloquently, I was called into work. My choice was go to work or lose my job. I didn't have another option. My option was to go into work or lose my job, and I needed my job to support my family. It was required. He went to work. And the one that haunts me is another father who was there with his young son, his father explaining his experience at the meatpacking plant without enough PPE, standing in close quarters with the others that were working on the line. The numbers of people who were exposed, the people who got sick, really sick at the start. And this man was explaining that his son kept saying to him, "How come you have to go when everybody else gets to stay home?" Square that with your young child. We required people to go to work. Yes, they took a risk. Yes, they did it. But let's remember that we required them. And for their livelihoods and their families, they went and they paid a price for it. And this amendment says their work, their risk, their sacrifice doesn't matter. And that Mr. President, is wrong, and I would urge my colleagues across the aisles to vote no, and let's get to work and fulfill our commitment to these frontline workers this session now without cutting people out. Thank you.
I have a list. Now I don't have a list. Senator Dibble, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. President. If a roll call has not been requested on the Housley A47, I would like to request a roll call.
Roll call is requested. Roll call granted. Further discussion on the A47 amendment? Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, this amendment came out of our discussion in finance last night with a need to clarify who we meant, and I would accept it as a friendly amendment.
The Secretary will take the roll on the A47 amendment. Calling Senator Jasinski to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson votes aye.
Anderson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Gazelka votes aye.
Gazelka votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Ingebretson votes aye.
Ingebretson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Benson votes aye.
Benson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Tomasoni votes aye.
Tomasoni votes aye. Calling Senator Herr to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Herr.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to report nay for Senator Clausen.
Clausen votes nay. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report nay for Senator Fattah.
Fattah votes nay. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report nay for Senator Torres Rey.
Torres Rey votes nay. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report nay for Senator Lopez Franzen.
Lopez Franzen votes nay. Senator Herr.
And I'd like to report nay for Senator Port.
Port votes nay.
Thank you.
Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Lang votes aye.
Lang votes aye. All members having voted with the desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 35 ayes and 30 nays, the motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion to Senate File 4091 as amended. Seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 4091. A bill for an act relating to state government.
Third reading. Final discussion to the bill. Senator Herr.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a long day, and as a person who take remote call, it's been an energetic moment here. But I thank you to all the all the senators, you know, who bring forth a very engaging discussion. I want to first thank Senator Bobby Joe Champion, who's our lead in the job and economic development. Senator Bobby Joe represents my voice well. He's very eloquent and to the point, and specify well the needs of a broader language and broader bills so that it can be equitable for everyone in terms of supporting women and minorities, veterans, and you know, other people of colors and so forth. And although, you know, I regret that his amendment to better the bill did not pass and all was rejected, I also want to commend Senator France and on his push for a responsible renewable energy 100% by 2040. And while Senator France was debating on the floor, he glanced over here and he mentioned my name, and all of a sudden I have a recollection of a story before time when a man had said that there will be flood in this world and he has to build a ship. You know, I didn't want to derail myself in discussion that, but I just want to share with you when Senator Friends talk about, mentioned my name in his speech, and talk about helping all the struggling families and so forth. You know, that's the vision that I have in my head. And I'll go back to the point of comment. And I do wish that we decide now and decide soon for that 18 years from now, you know, by 2024, I will be 75, and at least I have a little glimpse of renewable energy up to 100%. So we missed that opportunity, and we missed a number of opportunity as well. Opportunity for providing equity funding for community colors and pay family leaves that Senator Kent mentioned, and missed opportunity for hero pays. And you know, I hope that we would have defined it well in our frontline workers, and I want to say one more time that we missed that opportunity here to include all of our frontline workers, our nurses, you know, our grocery workers, you know, our custodian, maintenance crew, and so forth. And one little thing that I want to mention that and that really meant much to me is the support of the Office of New Americans. This only they only asked for a budget of $200,000, and with our surplus of 90.3, that's, you know, a very tiny drop in a huge bucket of water. But I'm regret that this provision wasn't included in the Office of New Americans. It's a federal request of our state to have such office, and there are a total of 15 states in this country that had an Office of New American to provide support for newcomers, refugees, and immigrants, and those who are leaving their home country in effect of wars. As for me, I wish that this office has been created several years ago. Perhaps if it were in place, we would have minimized the loss of lives when we encounter COVID-19, especially for minorities, new Americans, those who have cultural and language barriers. Perhaps that office could have lent a hand and minimized the number of deaths. You know, one death is a one loss of life that's very valuable to their loved ones. And perhaps it will make transition into helping our new American population during time of crisis like what we faced within the last 2 years, especially anti-Asian hate. And you have heard me screaming a number of times here on the floor that we have to create that hotline. But perhaps if there's agency like this under our jurisdiction, perhaps it will make this transition much more smoother. And now we are up against shortage of workforce. So I myself would like to ask the Office of New Americans to be a supported mechanism, but then we're not gonna fund them. You know, if we fund them, we will leverage federal funding to increase our support. And when we have workforce shortage, let alone that there will be fill of the gap, especially new Americans, especially refugee from Myanmar, refugee from Afghanistan, refugee from Ukraine, and they will be here to contribute to the betterment of our state and the United States of America. So I am disappointed of the number of things that I say here, including funding for the Office of New American, and I hope that when the bill travel forth and come back to the Senate again, we'll have that included. So thank you, Mr. President, for allowing me to speak in my third reading. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator McEwen.
Thank you. I didn't have a chance to make some comments. I just want to make a couple of quick comments about the jobs portion of this bill, this massive bill that we're considering today with so many provisions in it. I would echo what our colleague said earlier, that it really doesn't rise to meet this moment. And I agree with that. I'm just going to talk about a couple of things. There are those provisions we've heard about in the bill that we're not pleased with. I'll say chief amongst them would be the undercutting of the wage theft provisions. I just was looking at the specific language and I saw 20 hours. I mean, that's just going to be the cost of doing business. That's the danger that we're talking about. So it's really unfortunate that's part of this bill, is to undercut the good work that had been done previously to boost up the wage theft laws. But I think, when we're looking at the bill, what we really notice is what's missing. And again, that goes to it not meeting the moment. So as we heard very eloquently earlier, paid family and medical leave, earned sick and safe time. And I think sometimes when we're debating in this body and we're working on these things in committee, we get sort of a technical view to these things and we lose sight of the fact that this is about people's lives. This is really about the quality of life of our neighbors and of Minnesotans. What kind of life are they able to lead? What kind of freedoms, what kind of agency do they have in their lives? When we don't include some of these basic safety net things, when we don't have those as part of our set of what it means to be a Minnesotan, what it means to be in community here, when we don't have those, it undercuts everything that we're trying to do in this state. So some other things that are missing out of this bill have to do with equity and diversity. One of the things that I would have really liked to have seen in the bill that's not in the bill is full funding for the LEAP grants, the LEAP funding. The LEAP funding, the purpose is to increase women identifying, female identifying, and minorities in registered apprenticeship programs. And I don't have to tell all of you, those are great jobs, family supporting jobs, union jobs. Those jobs need to be opened up to more people, to more diversity. And I know there's a skills path program as part of this bill, but we already have a lot of other programs that work. The LEAP program, youth skills training. We could have expanded the dual training pipeline to include childcare and transportation industries. We didn't do that. And one of the things that I'm concerned about and that I have heard other people voice concern about is, of course, we want to help 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds get into the trades and have a pathway to gain experience, to gain training. But what we don't want is for 16 and 17-year-olds to be exposed to dangerous conditions and to be put in programs where production is the focus. We want training to be the focus. We want learning to be the focus. So I wish that we were seeing better provisions in that area. One thing that I wanted to just point out that was a technicality on this bill as well. We heard about the window cleaner provision. But the window cleaner provision in this Senate bill does not reflect the agreement that was reached between the stakeholders. I understand that the Department of Labor and Industry convened a group. There was one representative of workers, several industry reps, and they made a compromise already, but that compromise is not in this bill. It's in the House bill, and that's a technical detail, but I think it's important for people to know that and for there to be a record of that. Another thing that I'm concerned about in this bill is that the hero pay provision, as it was amended last evening, it only provides pay to a very narrow set of frontline workers. We heard some debate on some of the work that people have been doing on that and further narrowing. But what about bus drivers? What about meat packers? What about grocery store workers? And Senator Murphy was so eloquently making the case to expand our understanding and acknowledgement of just how many workers showed up and did what they were asked to do, did what they had to do during the pandemic. Other provisions, keeping Minnesota OSHA penalties in line with federal OSHA. That's something that I know the department is really wanting to see in this bill that is not in the bill. Additional funding for prevailing wage enforcement, that should be in this bill. Again, not meeting the moment. We also need to be strengthening our fair labor standards for agricultural and food processing workers. We have some really good bills that people have authored. Our colleague, Senator Putnam, has a wonderful bill for safety, to create safety for meatpacking workers. And those provisions are not in the bill, and I'd specifically speak to the language provisions. We see and we know that in these industries, like meatpacking, like in slaughterhouses, when those workers are only given the materials that they need, training materials, instructional, in English, that means people get injured. It means they get hurt. It means even people can die in those situations when they're not given the materials that they need to understand their rights, to understand the safety protocols, to know what's expected of them and how to stay safe in the language that they can understand. That's something that we could do. And again, I would describe it not as just a missed opportunity, but it's about people's lives. It's about the quality of life for people in Minnesota. It's about being able to be safe at work. And so we missed doing that. Really important piece, not in there. Improving energy efficiency in commercial and large family buildings. Would have liked to see that in the bill. Also providing the Department of Labor and Industry with regulatory oversight of assisted living facilities. So, colleagues, for those reasons, just on the jobs portion of this bill, I would recommend no vote. And I'm sorry to have to do that. We have so many great pieces of legislation that our colleagues have offered, and I just wish that jobs portion rose to the moment. Of course, in regard to the energy pieces, you all know what my recommendation is on that. We can do so much better. Thank you.
Further discussion to final passage of Senate File 4091. Just making sure before we close the bill, any final comments before we close the bill? Senator Chamberlain.
As we close, Mr. President, thank you so very much. Discussions on the bill has been long but important, and the job bill, as I mentioned earlier, is missing so much, therefore I cannot support it. It doesn't meet the moment. I've been saying that from the time it was released in the committee, onto the Finance Committee, and then now on the floor. Not to mention certain policy provisions in the bill enlarges or creates more gaps than it creates equitable opportunities. And so my hope to the author is that this bill will return to us much better than the way it's leaving us. So let's meet the moment. Let's make sure that it's full of equity, opportunity, resources that really move us forward as Minnesotans. Thank you so very much, and thank you for hearing me tonight.
Closing comments on the bill, Senator Friends.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Thank you, members, for your patience and for your attention. The energy portion of the bill doesn't do as much as it should. As I said, it's got a minimal general fund target, and while we admit that we have made some progress, I'm asking the members of the majority party, let's get serious about evaluating where we are on our need to reduce carbons and how much time we have. If we could agree on that, we could do a lot together. I think this bill would fit if we had about 50 years, but I did hear one bright note, and I want to give Senator Senjem credit. I heard you say we need to decarbonize society. I could not agree more. Senator Senjem, members of the majority party, I invite you to have that discussion. Minnesota can conquer any challenge. We've made it through two world wars, and we can make it through this. Market forces will not be enough. If market forces allow people to do things for profit instead of preserving the planet, that will not be enough. But we can do it if we put our collective heads together, and I think Minnesotans would be glad to see that. And by the way, I'm not just speaking for those that live in the big city. Some of these effects of climate change are going to be very hard on our rural communities. As someone from greater Minnesota, I hope that we keep that into account. Because of the provisions on the energy part of the bill and because of my desire to contribute to the discussion, I'll be a yes vote. But we got to do better. Thank you, Mr. President.
Closing comments from the authors of the bill. Senator Senjem.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be obviously brief. I just want to thank Senator Friends for his lead on our committee and all the rest of the members as well. And also just say that I think we had a good debate today. This is I always said this place where ideas clash, but people don't have to. And we had a good clashing of ideas today, and that's what the folks back in 1920 when they built this thing wanted us to do. So we move forward, and we'll go to conference committee and be back in a few weeks and look forward to seeing what the bills look like. But again, thanks so much for a great afternoon of good debate. Ideas clash. We don't have to. Thanks so much.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, there's been talk about missing the moment. And when we talk about the jobs and the economy, to say last year was last year is really a very narrow way to look at it. We put over $250 million into the economy and the workforce last year. That's a lot of money. That's near records amount of money that we put into those two to help the Minnesota economy recover, to help the Minnesota worker recover. And you know what? A lot of that money, including most of our Main Street revitalization money, hadn't even gotten out to the people who need it yet. But what we hear is we need to spend more. We haven't even spent what we put in last year, but we need to spend more. Mr. President, what this does is this does the things that we promised last year. This continues to support our frontline workers, We put in the promise that we made last year for $250 million. We help get people back to work. And let me say, the best and most impactful thing that could have been done this session was to pass the unemployment replenishment fund, live up to our promise when the governor shut down businesses and promised to hold them harmless. Unfortunately, the House decided to wait 10 weeks before taking this bill up. We passed this bill on February 14th. The House passed it last night, and they loaded it up with so much, as we know from the earlier today when we decided to appoint a conference committee at the 11th hour. They loaded in so much at the 11th hour that it puts the entire program at risk. But you know what's really disappointing about that, Mr. President, is that the uncertainty has been keeping down wages for people who have been trying to get back into the workforce, because employers have to expect a greater payroll tax. We hear the average is a 30% increase, but we've talked to so many employers, it's more. So to those who say we've missed the moment, I disagree. I think this is a bill that makes the moment. It builds upon exactly what we put in place last year, and it sets our Minnesota economy up to move forward and to thrive. So, Mr. President, I encourage everyone to vote yes on the bill tonight.
The Secretary will take the roll on the final passage of Senate File 4091 as amended. Calling Senator Jasinski to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson votes aye.
Anderson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Gazelka votes aye.
Gazelka votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Ingebrigtsen votes aye.
Ingebrigtsen votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Benson votes aye.
Benson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Newman votes aye.
Newman votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
And thank you, Mr. President. Senator Tomasoni votes aye.
Tomasoni votes aye. Calling Senator Hurd to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Hurd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to report nay for Senator Clausen.
Clausen votes nay. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report nay for Senator Fattay.
Fattay votes nay. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report nay for Senator Torres Rey.
Torres Rey votes nay. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report nay for Senator Lopez-Franzen.
Lopez-Franzen votes nay. Senator Herr.
I'd like to report nay for Senator Port.
Senator Port votes nay.
That's all. Thank you.
All members having voted with the desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 38 ayes and 27 nays, Senate File 4091, as amended, does pass in its title agreed to. Reverting to the fifth order of business, reports of committees, the secretary will read the reports.
Senator Rosen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 3249, a bill for an act relating to mental health, creating a mental health provider with supervision grant program, reports the same back with a recommendation that the bill be amended as follows. And when so amended, the bill do pass.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. President, I move
stand
that...
Stand by, Senator Johnson. We got one more to batch it for you. Senator, the secretary will read the additional report.
Senator Rosen from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred Senate File Number 3510, a bill for an act relating to higher education, reports the same back with a recommendation that the bill be amended as follows, and when so amended, the bill do pass.
Senator Johnson.
All right. Mr. President, I move that the committee reports read by the secretary be adopted.
To that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion does prevail. Moving to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. The secretary will read the Senate bill number.
Senate file numbers 3249 and 3510.
Bills are given their second reading. Moving to the 13th order of business, without objection, the following senators are excused from today's session. Senator Bach from 12:25 to 1 o'clock. Senator Dornick from 1:10 until 1:20. Senator Pratt from 1:10 to 1:20. Senator Weber from 1:10 to 1:20. Senator Port from 1:10 to 7:10. Senator Murphy from 1:10 to 2:45 p.m. Senator Abler from 3:20 to the end of session, Senator Torres Ray from 5:15 to 5:45, and Senator Latz from 6:15 through the end of session. Moving to the 13th order of business announcements, the President will start. Members, I appreciate your indulgence on calling a very fast recess. We did have a member that had a situation that developed. I'm glad to report that it appears not to be a serious medical issue. I do want to recognize my executive assistant, Wendy, who sprung into action when she saw one of our members in distress. And I think, you know, for the people at home, they don't understand. You know, we fight like dogs on this floor. We will sometimes say things we may regret as we walk out the door. But in hindsight, we are all people. We are all Minnesotans. And I appreciate the fact that you indulged me, as well as the assistance lent by Dr. Klein and Senator Murphy. We sprung into action, and I'm glad to say that we all got an email from Senator Port that she seems to be just fine. So people at home should know that it isn't just screaming and yelling. It is... in so many ways, a Senate family. So, announcements. Senator Murphy.
thank you, President Osmak. I also want to recognize what happened this afternoon, beginning with Wendy. Without your discovery and your intervention, the situation might have been much different, and I know it was hard for you. And I really recognize, and we all do, what you did this afternoon for Senator Port. It was the first and probably last time I'll be in the ladies' bathroom with Senator Klein, but he was there and prepared and did beautiful work along with the sergeants. And if I ever have to move from here and into an ambulance, I want President Osmak directing the way. You did a wonderful job, and I just wanted to acknowledge that and thank you and to thank the body for the real respect and concern and respect for Senator Port's privacy when she needed it. Thank you.
Senator Friends.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and thanks, members, for a long day. On behalf of Senator Lopez Friends, and I also want to extend thanks to Senator Murphy and Senator Klein. Also to the Sergeant at Arms, to you, Mr. President, to the staff at the desk, and to Wendy, and all the staff. I'm glad to see Senator Port's doing well. and you took the words right out of my mouth. We can fight all day long, but at the end of the day, we're going to go home, men and women of Minnesota, and hopefully with a little bit of friendship. And that's on behalf of our caucus, too. Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, members.
Further announcements? Seeing none, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Wednesday, April 27th at 11 a.m.
To that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion does prevail. This Senate is adjourned.